It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Happy Halloween to everybody out there on this Texans game day Thursday. I appreciate you hanging out with us. You're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reggie Atitula hanging out with you. Gearing up to hand it off to the drive, a truncated version of that show as they're getting ready to. We're all getting ready.
Yeah, we are.
For Texans Jets on Thursday night, MetLife Stadium on a Halloween. Those fine fellas will get you going in about an hour. But before we get there, let's figure out what we're looking at with this game. Texans win because, Texans lose because. Text in what you think will determine whether or not the Texans get a victory in this particular matchup. And Lopez, what for you are you looking at when it comes to wins versus losses in this one?
All right, so the obvious one, we could almost all say it together. That Kenyon Green doesn't get blown up consistently and cause severe issues. So we can almost set that one aside.
Yeah, Texans lose because of interior pressure.
Yes, exactly. And how good the interior pressure is for the Jets. So I think we can all agree on that one. I saw something today that I went, oh, Lord, let's see how this plays out. And so I think the Texans win because they buck the odds, they buck the trend of the crew that's going to call today's game. Sometimes that doesn't matter. Sometimes it matters a lot. So Sean Hockley, he is calling tonight's game. He's the referee. He and his crew are calling tonight's game. They are number two in the league in terms of officiating, calling illegal formations.
Oh.
Almost 53% of the penalties that they have called land in two categories. False start and offensive holding.
Oh, no. I don't like the way that sounds. We've gotten rid of these.
We thought we did. That's what I'm saying. They bucked the trend. But Hockley's crew has a case. Is a factor.
Sure, absolutely.
You know the last game that Hockley's crew called of the Texans? Five false starts, two illegal formations, roughing the passer in a 34-7 loss to the Vikings.
Okay. So the loss itself, obviously, not on the refs, but that particular...
Five false starts.
There's a lot of those. And one of the things that I was worrying about, I guess silently in some ways, with Kenyon Green is, do you see him try and overcompensate and knowing that he's getting beat?
I mean,
and start grabbing.
Better not do it with Hockley's crew.
Right. And that's the thing is, I can understand, even in that place, just logically, if you're like, man, I just know I'm on my last legs. I've already been benched at one point. There's already these jokers on the radio trying to get me out of here, right? And I got to make sure, not just for the jokers on the radio, but just for the guys on the team, right?
Because
CJ has talked about it, right? Nobody, and I mean, I think also it was one of the things D'Amico said, nobody feels worse about this than Kenyon. And I don't doubt that one bit.
Sure.
And if you're in your mind and you're like, man, I just got to get this done, right? By hook or by crook. Well, that hook and crook is holding.
Yeah.
And I really, brought up some worries that I did realize earlier.
You know, I follow the NFL ref stats and all that stuff on Twitter, and normally I just kind of look at it, go, okay, whatever, scroll right through it. 69% of Hockey League's calls are on the offense. 69% of the penalties that they call are on the offense, largely holding and false starts and illegal formation. Okay.
Let me immediately counteract some of that. I don't want to say it's negativity because it's not like you.
I'm saying they got to buck the trend here.
They absolutely do. I think Texans win because they get the ball out early. So some of that is the genesis of some of that is obviously mitigating some of the interior pressure that clearly has been there. Quinnen Williams is a boogeyman in this one, being an opposite Kenyon Green or whoever else on the interior, because it's not like Shaq Mason has been stellar in this game. Yeah. Drew Scruggs, we saw him got put into the lap of one of C.J. Stroud last week as well. So, or it feels weird saying last week when it's four days ago. But we've seen that happen in the interior. Getting the ball out is obviously will help negate some of that. But also, and Next Gen Stats letting us know that the Jets have missed 88 tackles this season, which is tied for the fourth most in the NFL.
All right.
Sauce Gardner, one of those guys, chief among them.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ball out to these guys in space. Now, the tough thing about it is Bobby Slowick's fascination with some of these wide receiver screens has kind of had some of your wide receivers on the perimeter, and then Laremy Tunsil at times getting out there and trying to block in space, and it hasn't quite worked out.
Yeah.
But if they could find a way to get the ball to these playmakers in actual space as opposed to getting the ball and then immediately being tackled, these guys on the other side for the Jets have missed tackles. Maybe you can get chunk plays simply getting the ball to your playmakers in space and letting them work.
Before we go on to other win because, lose because, are you with me on this? Like, normally I'm like, okay, a lot of these stats are just, you know, game to game, but I get it. They're trends. This one kind of hit me a little different because it is false starts and illegal.
I'm with you. That's what I was saying. It's like it started getting me to a point where I was like, oh goodness, that's a concern that I had not really fully gotten to the place of feeling, because I did have the passing thought, as I mentioned, the idea that, hey, does Kenyon Green then overcompensate and then try and really grab? And if he does get to that place, it does seem like there's more likelihood of maybe that flag, that yellow hitting the field.
Other one for me, Tank Dell. Tank Dell, let's back it up, man. It was a nice effort. You stepped up when Stephon went down. Let's back it up and go ahead and get in the end zone again, you know, because this is something that, by the way, that jump into the stands was pretty funny. He was asking for help from C.J. Stroud. Hey, get me down! Hey, help me get down!
But it looked real cool. That was one of those things where you could tell, even if the numbers didn't look right, it felt like he was in that space.
Oh, he definitely was. But
jumping up, like you could see the energy, like the feelings that were emanating, the vibes.
Just didn't plan the landing accordingly.
Hey, man, we'll figure that out.
Hey, C.J., help me out here. No, Tank. Tank, they will win if Tank can back it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I feel you there. And again, I was pointing to quietly some of the things that we've talked about, which is Sauce Gardner allowing career high in receptions over expected, target EPA, completion percentage, like career highs, yards per reception. We talked about that earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, ways in which he is not playing at the same level as he had prior.
Yeah.
Right. And not to say that he is a bad cornerback, but he is no longer, at least in this year, one of those guys that you go lock down and that you can't throw over there. I think that there's a possibility. So it'd be also even more special if you have Tank taking advantage of that as well. On the text line from the 281, Texans win because good chemistry between the core of receivers that played with CJ last year. That's from Larry and Humble. You buying that? The idea that, hey, man.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
You have
with
the comfort
Tank.
Of yeah. Tank yeah. and Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Metchie doesn't quite fall into that, but we saw them connect up pretty late for like a 27-yard grab as well. Like, you think that chemistry immediately locks right back in from the jump?
Now, I do have a lose because, I mean, we're just being fair here.
Sure.
And I think the Texans lose because maybe that Jets defense, which, despite some of the warts that you just laid out and some of the issues that maybe Sauce Gardner has, is still pretty dang good against the pass. Maybe they just load up on Joe Mixon. You know, maybe they just, you know, those defensive tackles, they've got to be feeling pretty good about their chances against the interior of the Texans offensive line. Maybe they load up the box and try to stop Joe Mixon, because, you know, Joe Mixon is it in terms of proven running backs in this game.
Yeah, but one of the things that probably isn't going to help, C.J. Mosley not playing in this one. That's a big-time linebacker for them, in addition to Elijah Vera Tucker not playing, Alan Lazard, wide receiver, not playing in this, Ashton Davis, Tony Adams. Like, they have a group of guys that aren't playing in this one, but maybe they do. But also, from the 8-3-2, Texans win if Joe Mixon gets over 100 yards and a touchdown.
I agree.
Let me tell you that's a good thing. Joe Mixon, in all the games that he has started and finished for your Texans thus far this season, has crossed the century mark.
Yeah.
So that feels like a given. And is there, like, can I break it down to the individual logic of why it happens? No, I cannot. But it just seems to happen, right? And so I am willing to ride off of those vibes that it's just going to be Joe Mixon doing Joe Mixon things.
Yeah, but again, it ties in with what my worry is. If you're the Jets and you have, you know, some level of confidence that the Texans without Nico and Stephon aren't going to really smoke you in the passing game, despite C.J. Stroud, you're loading up on that run game. You're loading up. I mean, the player to stop, if you're the Jets, if you're Robert Saleh, is Joe Mixon.
I mean, you're probably right.
Right?
You're probably right in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Another one that comes in on the text line. Texans win because, from the 713, the D-line suffocates Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's a dude who has taken a lot more pressure and has made some poor decisions this year that are not comparable to the Aaron Rodgers that you kind of typically conjure up when you think of Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. And so I've almost, it's not to this level, but I've almost kind of thought about it akin to Jordan Love. When you play the Packers, where you go, you know that he'll throw it up there if you get him pressure.
Yeah.
He hasn't moved as well, and that's one of the things that he had previously been, you know, pretty good at, is that the athleticism they use. Hey, Will Anderson, player of the month, AFC defensive. Danielle Hunter. Hey, Tim Settle, get involved here, right? Like, all these guys, go ahead and make his life hell, because you might be able to also add into turnovers on this, which will help a long way.
Yeah, I said Robert Saleh. I didn't mean Robert Saleh, Uchi, or what's his name?
Obrecht?
Obrecht.
Jeff Obrecht, which that might be a Texas win, because that man has made some kind of surprising decisions that you kind of understand from an interim who has not had any level of play responsibility or game management responsibility. They had, and we mentioned, they were the first team, or like the second team in like a decade or so, if not longer, to use all three timeouts in the first quarter. Like, they could make some wild decisions, and not having that steady hand at the wheel might be something that's to the detriment.
I feel like Nathaniel Hackett is running that team, man.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett, he's not the play caller offensively anymore. Isn't that Downing?
Is he?
So,
he's not the play caller, but he might be involved.
Using those
in
three timeouts sound a little Nathaniel Hackett.
That's true. but to your point, you mentioned Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. I think because Aaron Rodgers isn't moving around as much, because he's trying to get the ball into places that he normally, I mean, he's missing receivers. I think Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, They might be the biggest difference makers defensively, and that's directly with Aaron Rodgers.
713, Texas have to protect CJ from Reddick and Quinton Williams if they want to win. Better Chip Hassan or Max Protect to his side. Yeah, the Texans lose because though that defensive line, which funny enough, I feel like on both of these teams, the tip of the spear is indeed the defensive line. That's the way that I'm doing it. And it feels like if you let that defensive line can get after you. That also is a defensive line that generates pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them do that, right? If they're able to generate pressure, they might be able to really throw a wrench in the entirety of this operation for this Texas team on the road.
Yeah. No, I think it's all about which defense gets it done on the other side. And you know what? The Jets definitely have to be feeling pretty good with the two receivers out and the inside of the Texans offensive line having so many issues.
You want to help somebody with some fantasy here, seeing as you're Mr. Fantasy Football Man?
Well, I'm really not, but sure.
All right. I just coined you Mr. Fantasy Football Man, so if you get it wrong, it's all on you. 2-1. Should I sit CJ on my fantasy team and start Sam Darnold versus the Colts?
I know. CJ will get, he'll get at least a touch. Couple touches, right?
You think so?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
No. but would you bet on Darnold or
Darnold play?
I get the Colts. So you know, it's not a bad question, because Darnold, you know, the Vikings obviously
he's been
pretty
good this year. Yeah.
But boy, I still just trust CJ more. I just trust him more. Even though Sam Darnold is probably having, you know, MVP type for him year. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have a prediction for this one?
I do. I was just going to say it, actually. I think you know, the guys are all talking about it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't disagree. The over-under is 42.5, you said?
42.5?
I think it's going to be right up against that. I think it's going to be like a 21, you know, 17, you know, somewhere in there. Because you're going to have some big plays, you know?
Yeah. I thought 23-17 myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, the Texans might win because they don't have really good kicking situation here.
Kyahmi Fairbairn, there you go.
And compared to the Kyahmi Fairbairn that you feel a lot more comfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Jets dealing with, they have a couple of kickers that they put on the practice squad, and I don't know which one they're activating. There might actually be news on that I need to double check on, mm-hmm. but... Yeah, they've got a couple of guys they're going with here that they're pulling up, and none of them are like particularly great options. Although I did say that when the Packers had not Mason Crosby, that's years back. Who did they pick up this year? McManus. There we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think 23-17 is where I go here. Tight game, but a victory, and ultimately.
So we're all on the same page.
I've established myself on this.
But that's three touchdowns.
And I'll try and. I think there might be some field goals in it. I've established myself on this to where I think that I'm in a place where, and I hope that I can actually live up to this. I don't really need to see anything but a win.
Yeah.
I'll find a way to be okay with everything that I see if they can get out of New York with a victory, bring it back, and get themselves that 10-day week before leading up to the Lions.
Yeah. No, I think what we've established here is the defense is a big play, and we started the show with this. Crazy things always happen on Halloween. The defenses are going to actually ultimately dictate who wins this game, whether it's you know what the Jets can do inside, what the Texans can do on the edges, how the secondary plays with the Texans, you know, some backups in there, and the Jets with some guys that only have two interceptions all year. So the defense is going to do something to win the game, but you don't know which defense.
Some other things that came in on the text line: 3468. Texans win if CJ spreads the ball all over the field. Some people are leaning towards the idea that actually more of a run game, more of a ball possession game. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting perspective. And then listeners helping the listeners here from mm-hmm. the 281. They say sit CJ for Sam this week. Sam, Vikings are going to kill the Colts.
Like I said, it's not a bad argument. Vikings are really good, trying to bounce back themselves. I just trust CJ more.
All right. Tommy on the YouTube. Halloween blowout by the Texans. 35-10 Texans, baby. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
That would be amazing, man.
That would be. Look, that would make me feel better, right? Because I'm already in a place where I just need
the. Boy, that would lead to all kinds of positive things. Because, you know, 35, that's a lot of offense.
Yeah.
So that means the offense got going.
Maybe. Or there's defensive scores.
Yeah.
Or Stephon Diggs was the problem.
No, don't
he
do
was
that.
The problem, guys.
That's the Joker makeup speaking right now. That's what's happening right there. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're gearing up as there's a video montage of the wild things that happen on Halloween, including Manu Ginobili swatting a bat out of midair on Halloween. We'll see if anything wild like that happens during the course of this game. What's never wild, or sometimes wild in various different ways, is Figgy's mixtape that's coming up next. Fig, what we got?
Yeah, man. So it's Halloween, and I got America's biggest fears.
Mm.
And plus, I got a list of famous haunted places in Houston.
Haunted places in Houston, huh?
Yeah.
All mm-hmm. right. Let's get a little spooky. Next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
See this pen right here? I'm going to make it disappear.
You really getting into this one.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
He's scary. He's scary. You nailed it.
Are you keeping the whole costume on and doing trick, you know, letting the kids come by?
You got
where I was going.
That's it's funny. Me. It's funny you said that. By the way, it's Figgy Smith, Tayborn, Sports Radio 610. It's funny you said that. I thought about just getting some candy last minute and just cutting the light on and just seeing that.
You should.
But man, early had a situation earlier, man. It kind of tipped me off a little
bit.
Right,
that's right.
So I think I mentioned this yesterday about the in confessions about the homeless guy that knocked on the door pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he knocked on the door this morning.
Yeah, you got to do something.
And I'm like, all right, I'm over here on the Ring camera like, yo, Duke. Like, nah, that's it, man. Like, I ain't got nothing. I had to lie and say I was in the bed.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, it's over, man.
Yeah.
like, the gig is up, man. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Good for you.
But,
see, he ruined it for all the babies. The babies are coming to get candy.
He ruined it.
Mm.
But, yeah, man, it's Halloween, and I got some of the, I guess, America's biggest fears. So I want to start off real quick. What's y'all number one fear?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I still have a fear of heights.
You do? Yeah, we mentioned this the other day.
I think I still have a fear of heights.
I don't per se have a fear of heights. I'll go up in buildings and look down and all that. But sometimes certain things, you know, might get me. So it wouldn't be that. I would have to say, man, that's a tough one. My biggest fear. I'm deathly afraid of drowning.
Okay.
Because I'm always out in rough water and stuff like that. Because I'm an idiot and I go fishing even in rough water, that type stuff.
Okay, so I'm gonna go through this list and it pretty much shows that I guess people fears, you know, in different states. So the number one fear is death, and that's one of my fears.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm scared to die. I want to live forever.
Yeah.
But so that was the highest fear in 17 states, including Washington State, California, Nevada, Colorado, Texas, Minnesota, Ohio, New York, Tennessee, and Florida.
Okay.
Number two is Reggie's fear, which is heights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people scared of heights. Number three is snakes.
That one came in on the Twitch.
Yeah. A lot of people scared of snakes.
I do wonder how often do people actually run by snakes for that to be such a high fear?
You see them. I mean, if you're out and about a lot, I've seen a bunch of snakes.
I think
here
too.
There.
I think just society just makes snakes so scared.
Yes.
Like you could put a snake on the TV, somebody holding a snake, and everybody just, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, somebody just walking around with a snake is just seems so.
Don't get me
scared.
Wrong. I'm not a fan, but I'm not like deathly afraid. I mean, because if you know what snake is what, you can kind of.
But see, some people.
Yeah, I'm not
are,
waiting around to some figure
people,
out what snake
but
is.
But see, some people are scared of like little garden snakes.
Yeah.
So, like my dad is scared of snakes.
No, I wouldn't.
I thought it was just a big old like a python or something like that, but a garden snake would set him off.
My wife is afraid of rats.
Oh,
well, yeah, we definitely learned that.
So what
by the way, when is has retribution
no,
hit yet?
Okay. No, and it's getting worse.
Oh, it's getting. Is she still bringing it up?
No, she's not saying
that's,
anything.
That's the worst,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, that's the worst.
All right, good.
Yeah, just like punish me now. Just like a little kid. Just hit me on my arm. Just hit me. Don't tell nobody. Just hit me.
Just hit me
back.
That's what I wish.
Get me back.
Yeah.
Number four. This one was kind of shocking to me. So, people are scared of enclosed spaces.
Yeah, people don't like that. That claustrophobia kind of comes in.
That's kind of I can be that a little bit.
So
so
this one is tied with another one, which is public speaking.
I've seen that before, and I don't get it. I mean, some people can do it. Some people are terrified of it.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that actually made the top five list. And by the way, ghosts and spirits was an option, and that didn't make. That didn't even make the list because I guess a lot of people are not really scared of ghosts or spirits.
Can I get a ghost take off right quick?
Yeah.
Why is it that in so much media, right, the ghosts are like have to haunt a particular house or whatever? You tell me exterior walls are a problem for them? Right? These ghosts can navigate all the interiors.
Yeah.
But the exterior wall, like this ghost is destined to haunt this one particular hotel. I'm like, can't leave?
Well, haven't you seen the show Ghost?
I have not.
It explains that.
Does it?
It does explain that.
Is that the show that come on CBS?
Yeah.
The one that's always being advertised during football?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
the
like, that show look corny.
Show.
Is it good?
It is corny. I like the last season. My wife likes it, so I was watching it by default. It was okay. But it does explain why they can't leave certain homes.
But see, I look at ghosts. I don't know if y'all watch American Horror Story, but I kind of look at ghosts like that. Like if something happened in the house, then they're stuck.
Yeah.
And they can't really leave.
So then why are you afraid of them? They're the ones that should be afraid. They can't go nowhere. They're prisoners.
They're going to terrify you.
Free the ghosts. Free my homie ghost. Yeah. He ain't do nothing.
Yeah, so a couple of things that, you know, I guess America is scared of.
That makes sense.
So I decided to kind of look up some spooky haunted places in the city of Houston, because we used to, like, back in Cleveland, it used to be a couple places that used to be, like, reportedly haunted and all this other stuff, and was built back in the 1700s, and it was a hospital, and it was a mad doctor who just killed everybody in them. Yeah. Always these type of stories. So I decided to look up some places in Houston that's reportedly haunted. So I want to see if y'all actually attended this place or remember these places. The first one that came up on the list is Spaghetti Warehouse.
Haunted.
Really? This was the one downtown, because I think they have one in Katy now.
It's something else now, but the one downtown was by the old Chronicle where I worked. And we would go in there occasionally, and I would occasionally ask, like, some people that worked there and stuff, hey, I heard that this is, you know, that this is haunted. Like, every one of them, and I'm not a big, you know, whatever, believe in ghost guy. Well, I don't know. Nobody does. But every person I spoke to at that restaurant would, like, oh, yeah, I saw this, and then I saw this, and then I saw that. This happened. And I'm like, really?
At the Spaghetti Warehouse.
Yeah. Now, they swore it was haunted.
Yeah, another one that's on this list is, I think it was right by the Spaghetti Warehouse, but LeCaffrey. Is it LeCaffrey?
LeCaffrey.
LeCaraffe.
Oh, La Carafe.
La Carafe.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one, but I know the Spaghetti Warehouse, like, they swore by it.
Yeah, so I actually have a report on this. I did a little digging.
Oh, perfect.
And my good friend Ruben Dominguez did a story about these two haunted places. I want to say this was like 8 years ago, so I think the places were still up and running. But here is his report on these two places.
One of the most famous and most haunted buildings in this area is La Carafe, a local bar that is very popular among the living and the dead. In this 140-year-old historic building, not all of the ghosts are invisible. One former employee who passed away decided to return and likes to make regular appearances. A few blocks north of the bar sits the Spaghetti Warehouse, a place that is widely considered to be one of the most haunted places in America.
Mm. Lots of things have happened in the building, between servers carrying trays and them flipping backwards.
Yeah.
And shoelaces sitting straight up while the server is out there handing out food and passing out plates and trays and stuff like that. We've had people running up and down the stairs after hours. We've had the music cut on. We've had the lights cut on. After you turn off the music, the lights come on. You turn the other side of the building, you turn off the lights. The music comes back on, which is on the other side of the building. All kinds of weird things happen in the building.
He says he's pretty sure that the ghosts are harmless, if not a little mischievous. But that doesn't mean he's not a little leery about what they'll do next.
I won't come in the building before 6 alone. I will come in with somebody else. And about midnight, I'm like, we gotta go, guys. I don't like being in the building after this time.
Would y'all be able to work in a place like that, or go to a restaurant or hotel or something, like a haunted place?
Work, absolutely not. It's already bad enough I'm working, right? And then you mess around and pass away, and now you guys still got to come to work. You hear the luck raft? You got servers. Like, this is my thing. The person is gone, and they still got to come into work. That's a lot.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
So I'm gonna go down the rest of the list.
Hey, before you move on from the 936, they said yes, the Spaghetti Warehouse was haunted for sure. My dad used to service their restaurant machines, and he would have to go to their cellar to take the elevator to turn off. The elevator turned off, and the lights would flicker. He would hear voices and feel stuff when it was still open.
Oh, man, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Figgy, I'm telling you, like, I'm talking 10, 12 times I talked to people, and then they all said the same thing.
Nah, I believe that.
Believe it enough to stay away from it. Huh?
Yeah. Some other places on this list, the Hotel Galvez.
Yep.
And Galveston.
Yeah.
I heard a bunch of stories about that. I forgot what room number it was. But it was a whole story. You can search it on YouTube and hear the whole story on how it became haunting and all that stuff. That was a little scary. What about the Jefferson Davis Hospital?
Near downtown. I walk by there occasionally, and I've heard, not as much as I did with that, but just kind of in the neighborhood, say, yeah, that they say that's haunted. You know, I don't know if it is, but that's the word on the street.
The Julia, Edison Building.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the part of the Houston Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
Night
Watchman and his dog apparently haunt that.
The Hoomst?
Yeah.
The Night Watchman
and his dog haunt the Julia Edison Building.
He's still at work. All these ghosts are having to work in the afterlife.
Just leave.
Can we get an ACLU for the undead?
Hey, can they retire?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, please.
I just want to
retire.
Know,
go up to heaven.
I just want to go across the street.
What about the Donnie Lynn Crypt?
I haven't heard of that one. What is this one
is located downtown near Buffalo Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's an actual crypt.
It's a burial site of a local family. It was reportedly moved in the 1920s due to flooding, and locals believe the disturbed spirits still linger.
Oh,
because
they got
area.
Their, they got, yeah, they got
y'all,
their.
Y'all messed up my stuff.
Yeah, they're house.
I'm going to haunt you forever.
Exactly.
Rice University was on this list.
Like the whole place?
Well, that's why they ain't won. That's why they haven't won eight games. That's the issue.
They're having a coaching.
Yeah, you see, the haunting.
The head coach went missing.
Yeah. He sure did. Man. He sure did.
Damn shame what they did to that dog. So I guess founded on the land that was once a burial ground. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part. Some buildings at Rice are rumored to be haunted. The Lovett Hall building in particular has reports of ghostly sightings and strange noises after dark.
Have you ever seen anything that you thought
paranormal?
Yeah, that might be something not from here.
Nah. Yeah, I never experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe it's because I have such progressive undead policies. I'm like, hey, free the homies. Stop making them work. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let them go where they want to go. I don't know who is the bureaucracy of the ghosts.
Who do you go to?
Yeah, who is the bureaucracy of the
ghosts?
Who's
Karen's? Who's the manager that Karen wants to see?
Exactly. Who is forcing these ghosts into all these places that they clearly don't want to be?
I don't know. I'm in that place where I. Speaking of which, I don't know if I believe in ghosts, but I don't think you're crazy if you do. I mean, I know there's weird stuff out there.
No, I definitely believe in some evil spirits.
No, I do believe in UFOs. I do believe in, you know, that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to get into that portion of the Halloween?
No, I think there's just a lot of evidence.
Come on, let's go, man. Let's go down this YouTube rabbit hole, man.
A lot of evidence.
Somebody said another thing that's being haunted is the Astrodome.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I'm sure that's probably haunted.
Okay.
That's it, man. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Do or don't. Well, actually, these places are largely closed at this point.
Yeah. I think the Spaghetti Warehouse, I seen there was one in Katy somewhere.
Yeah, but the one that was haunted is still there. The building is still haunted.
Is the building still there? I wasn't sure they tore the building down.
Turned it into something else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So now we're getting all the haunted stories coming in. Although someone said that they worked in that Spaghetti Warehouse for 8 years and they did not see anything haunted.
Mm-hmm. So that's cap. Is that cat?
Seems like that's might be they might be selling them.
Yeah. You might be the ghost.
Oh wow. He's been dead for 10 years. All right, that's the mixtape. You get it every weekday at 1:20 right here on In the Loop. Coming up next, we get ready to hand off to our guys on the drive, Clint and Ron. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Attitula.
Thank you, Peggy.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Appreciate you hanging out with us. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, and again, if you're not watching on YouTube or Twitch, John Lopez is indeed dressed as a pirate. Figgy Fig, and I think he is winning costume of the day.
Yeah.
And has Heath Ledger's Joker outfit, and I am Reginald Attitula, or I guess Questlove in this instance, hanging out with you. On this Texans game day, Texans facing off against the Jets tonight. Sports Radio 610, 7:15 is when the game starts. 4:15 is when Sean and Seth return to your airwaves and get you ready for this football game. We were talking a little bit earlier about, I don't actually remember what brought it up, but somebody texted in, or I think it might have been on the YouTube, in fact, and asked, I think I've seen some news about there or a story online about the possibility of the Texans trading for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that from any place that I would deem reputable myself. However, just like as a thought experiment, would that be of any interest to you, Tyreek Hill? Like, because it sounds weird to say, but I think with the particular type of player that Tyreek Hill is, I'm not sure if Tyreek Hill makes sense for this roster.
Well, it does sound,
and that sounds like a stupid thing to say. Good wide receiver. Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't know about old Tyreek Hill. I don't know if I want him. No.
He won't fit in this screen. He's not the screen fit.
Well, you make sure he does fit. No, I'm not all the way there. Like, I don't know if it's a good trade. I kind of get your point, though, because it's like the money involved, you know, who's going to take up some salary? Is it really what this team needs? All this other stuff. Look, I think you make room for Tyreek Hill. If he's available, you're going to find a way to make room for him. But, yeah, I get it. It might be a little weird.
3-4-6, I'll take him on a day and that ends in Y. Fair enough.
No. I think if that did happen, you could probably say Stephon Diggs played his last snap here.
Oh, yeah, you would absolutely
Because I know he's on a one-year deal, he's going to be a free agent, I do think it's a possibility he could come back here next year.
Yeah.
On another one-year deal, another prove-it deal. But if that happened, I don't think Stephon Diggs would be back here.
I also think it might be tough to swing, because I think it seems like if they were to trade them on the thing that I did see, this story, for lack of a better term, that I saw, the Dolphins would be wanting to do that in order to recoup draft capital. So I don't think this is like Deontay Johnson where you're just doing a basic pick swap. Like, you'd be giving up something substantial now, of course.
But you take him.
Some people are like, all right, fine, whatever.
Part of me is I just don't feel like it's even remotely realistic.
I don't think so
either. For a number of reasons.
But I was like, worth thinking about, because obviously there's been a lot of conversation. I've kind of noticed this online in that I think Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated said that he did not think that the Texans would be involved in a trade. But then I saw CBS Sports looking at it, what they thought that the Texans would be involved in trading, particularly for a wide receiver. Now, obviously, it feels like they're definitely going to be looking at guard. But the pairing some of the kind of conversations that we've heard with also the idea that they did not have any communication with the Panthers on Deontay Johnson would kind of maybe lend me to believe that they're cool with what they've got and that they're standing pat.
It would. But, you know, we had this discussion when it came to Kenyon Green, you know, and Kendrick Green. Like, you know, your point was, you know, they know him, they see him, and they didn't have confidence to go back to him. So... you know, they clearly would need a guard. Well, the same thing is true at receiver. They know Tank, they know Mechie, they know Xavier Hutchinson. If they feel good with that, then they stay. But they may well make a deal. If the same, you know, the same theory, you know, is in place here, is at work here, where they're like, yeah, we're not quite seeing it. We do need another receiver, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just wanted to kind of address that. Someone also asked this. As I guess we're now bet consultants. I personally would not take that by any stretch of the imagination. You don't want to get your betting advice from me personally.
Yeah.
But any time touchdown scores, Tank, Mixon, and Hall plus 1,200. Good bet.
The odds are, you know, you're gonna have to pay for it. Put it that way, but I think any time on either of those three guys.
All right.
I mean, all three of those guys. Yeah.
There you go, Pyro Lopez.
I'm a pirate.
There you go.
I feel like a pirate.
What does a pirate feel like, then?
I just I'm putting this on. It makes me feel like a pirate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know what that quite means. It is Halloween on this day where you have a Thursday night game, Thursday night football, Texans Jets. And we were talking earlier in the show about how, you know, weird things tend to happen in sports on Halloween, maybe just because it's Halloween. And so what are the weird things that you could anticipate or maybe would even want to see in this game? We've gotten a lot of fun feedback.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, we were just talking. Manu Ginobili grabbed a bat out of the air.
Swatted it.
Mid-game on Halloween. The 50-point game, dial back the clock from Derrick Rose, happened on Halloween. Ben Roethlisberger, as a rookie, ended the Patriots' 21-game win streak on Halloween. 8 lateral kickoff return for a walk-off touchdown by the Miami Hurricanes. That was on Halloween. So what crazy would happen tonight would fit into that category? it all begins and ends with Kenyon Green, right? I mean,
again, yeah. Kenyon Green, and it's not just first of all, it feels like the offensive line completely staying clean with the refereeing or officiating crew that you have in this one. Mm-hmm. Would probably be a little bit of a strange situation, but yeah, man, so, like odd turnovers, I think, were some of the things we got into.
I'm feeling a safety myself.
Safety is what you're feeling.
A key safety. Big man touchdown.
Big man touchdown feels like that would be one of those strange things that could happen. Someone earlier was talking about the idea of a streaker in this one.
Oh, wow.
Like kind of the outside of the lines.
That's a good call.
That's a good call.
It's around election time, too. So
election time, Halloween, drunk.
Oh, yeah. Like you're thinking even from not just like a streaker, but somebody pitching.
Trying
invader,
to make a statement.
Making a statement like a sign or something. I can see that.
Last week somewhere, I think.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Completely missed that.
Yeah. But Kenyon Green must be, when he walks into onto the field for the first time, he's going to be like those people say, you ever feel like someone's watching you? Yes, everyone is watching you.
Everybody.
All eyes going to be on the left guard.
You hope that does not make
all
him
11 defensive players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like Gus Bradley started treating him like the mark last week, for sure. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you hope that doesn't make him press, but I don't know if that changes a ton of what's happening here, right?
Well, I don't know how it cannot. I mean, he normally goes about his business. Obviously, he's known, but it's not like he's a very well-known person, you know, that, you know, you spot in the grocery store and people ask for your autograph. You know, he's a big dude, relatively anonymous at left guard, and everyone's going to be watching him tonight. How can that not affect you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just got to get the job done, right? Like, that's been the message, and it just has to happen. And
every big play was made on this mother.
Somebody said guard, tackle, or center over Hill. Okay, and the idea of like trade, absolutely. I'm definitely in that place where the offensive lineman, particularly a guard, is my chief priority for the Texans in the trade deadline. Any other odd things that you could possibly?
John Metchie.
Metchie going off in particular?
4 or 5 catches.
Just 4 or 5?
What about That's huge for him. He's got 4 for the season.
What about Metchie being leading the team in yards?
Yeah.
Now that would be Halloween-esque.
Now we're talking strange.
That would be very Halloween. How about J.J. Taylor?
Yeah, J.J. Taylor, who signed to the active roster to provide a level of depth behind Joe Mixon and Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that would be really weird if Joe Mixon wasn't the leading rusher. Like that would be one of the real strange situations that could happen on a Halloween game night.
The things that fit the profile, so to speak, are like a safety, a crucial safety, a punt return, a kick return that's key in the game, a big man touchdown, something along those lines. It just has that feel.
1 point, point after touchdown return? One of those special team type things? How about block punt?
Block punt, punt return. It's Halloween, man. Everything's on the table and crazy things happen.
Crazy things do indeed happen. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the only thing that won't be too crazy and the one thing that I hope happens is the Texans getting a victory in New York. They are 2-point underdogs in this one.
It's crazy.
It still feels really wild.
They're 2-6, man.
Yeah. The Jets are a detail, but they're really talented, even though that talent is seeming to play underneath what they should be capable of.
That's the bet you should just make. Just a regular old money line Texans.
Okay, you feel confident about that?
You're looking at 6-2 versus 2-6?
But this is why they play it on the field, Lopez.
Aaron Rodgers is not
the same
guy.
They play it on the field.
I get it. Hey, you don't have Steph. You don't have... Look, 2-6 and unraveling.
You hear this man doing his best, J.J. Watt?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, what are we doing? Moneyline, Texans, boom, let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know, Lopez. I'm not real confident about that moneyline bet.
Really?
I mean,
you're taking.
Hey!
No, I mean, I'm just not. I'm damn sure not where you're at. I mean, I feel like the Texans can go win it, but I'm not where. I mean, you can't protect your quarterback. You're down your two best receivers.
Well, I'm not saying they're perfect.
Your third best receiver hasn't done anything all year long.
They'll play action their way out of it. Don't worry about it.
The matchups on that particular side of the ball are not in favor of the Texans.
They're gonna play action
at their place. I don't know. I mean,
can you who?
I really like Joe Mixon, but can Joe Mixon carry him through this defense?
Yes. I think that's what you have to rely on.
Yeah,
is counting on Joe Mixon to do it.
You may be higher on Joe than I am. Yeah. I thought I was at the top of that group. Yeah. All right, yeah, so, I don't know. I think it's a hell of a conversation.
It's almost as if the reason that the Texans are underdogs is because everybody's waiting for Kenyon Green to get blown up and all hell to break loose.
Well, it's not like the offense has been all that super consistent anyway.
But the defense has.
But yeah, that's the thing that you can hold. Go ahead and set your watch.
And the Jets' offense is worse than the Texans' offense.
Well, I think even going beyond that, even through the two teams, generally the thought is it's a big disadvantage for a road team that has to travel on the short week
they
just played.
Mm-hmm.
Like before that, they on Thursday Night Football, the home team usually has. And what has shown over the years has a huge advantage in terms of
that's been proven.
That's in the record. That's before you even get to the teams.
Yeah.
So fellas, I said that for myself, and I've been, process guy. Like win is cool, but I want to see the process of winning type team. That for this game, I don't have to see anything above just getting a W. Am I out of pocket here, or do you guys agree with that? Like, I don't need to see anything in particular.
The style points and all that stuff.
Like, none of it besides just get a W. Yeah. This is the one game that I'm actually in that place.
I can see where you could be there, but I can't take myself.
You can't get me there.
Yeah, no. I mean, if this offensive line and tight ends and running back group and Bobby, everybody involved in protection. If it is as much of a ish show as it potentially could be versus this defensive front, I mean, I think it's safe to say you win, lose, or draw this game. You look forward, boy, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So the protection at the very least has got to be better than I think expected.
Yeah, I think I went into the Packers game that way.
Mm.
Just with so many injuries against that team on the road, like that's why I as I said it that Monday, I felt better about the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I felt better about the Texans after the Packers game than I did last week after they won. So it's kind of that feel with Diggs out and no Collins and on the road short week. I can see a bit of just pull it out.
Yeah,
just pull it out because, I do think that at 2-6, if the Jets have any clinging hopes, you're going to probably get the best, maybe the best Jets that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
This may be their last stand, and they're a little bit more healthier than the Texans are. So I can get with that thought of, hey man, just come out with a W. Come out with a W.
That's what we're looking for.
I want it first. I speak for myself. I gotta get better about this, man. I get on the 30th, gets to me. Wake up on the 31st, and they're so serious, and they're so serious about this Halloween, just a tad bit more serious
up
than
here.
I am about it.
Up here, yeah. Yes, sir.
And I just never give it, never give an effort. I have got to start to make this a point. I could at least pull out. I could have pulled a banana suit or something.
Is that my boy Ron?
And in my mind, I'm thinking of like, I could have been.
I got it this year. I'm going to
do it. I could have been King Jaffe Jofa, in honor.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
In honor of James Earl Jones.
I think
it's
a big, thick banana.
Something. Big, thick banana. I could have been something.
A big, thick banana.
This game is Ron.
I mean, actually, you really had the situation set up to be Cisco this time.
Now I want to see King Jaffe.
I just think I'm too big to be Cisco.
Ain't nobody worried about that.
Retired Cisco after he got, he can't be in L.A. with all the bodybuilding stuff.
I think Cisco's kind of stayed in the same
still,
place that he was
still a little
in.
Fella.
I don't think he went to Real Revis.
They'd have figured it out.
I think you should have just came in here with a big old phone.
There was a moment. I had a moment. I was an Oompa Loompa one year. The Miller High Life guy one year. That was an outfit that really fit me. If you remember that guy, he passed away, by the way. But if you remember that guy.
Oh, okay.
I had him.
He must pass away young, huh?
I just got to be better.
Second straight handoff that is featured to death. I did not realize that was what we were doing in this particular.
I laughed about that all day. Like, kill the dude.
That's a little different. That's a listener.
Real, 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 real man,
I thought you didn't land it.
Let me tell you about this really good dude. By the way, he killed a dude.
He killed a guy.
And he's out.
Well, you got to hear the story.
And he's out.
Okay. Okay. That's Friday. That's Friday's handoff. Yeah, hearing the story.
It's game day now.
You good. Hey, man. You locked in for game day. We were dressed up, but you locked in for game day. That's exactly what you're about to get on the drive. And Luke, we're done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down what I hope is a Texans victory over the Jets. But right now, you're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station, and the drive is live. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.